Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Children.
Tinfoil hat.
Oh, what the fuck are you guys even talking about?
Global controls will have to be imposed, and a world governing body will be created to enforce them.
Welcome to Tinfoil Hat. We go deep, homeboy. Eric, open your mind. Drink from the fountain of knowledge. There's lizard people everywhere. That's some interdimensional shit. Wake up, Aaron.
This is only the beginning.
Dude, you just blew my mind.
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
It will be. Welcome to another glorious episode of Tin Foil Hat. You know who I am. You know what I'm here to do. I'm here to rock. Bam. Joining me as always is my good friend, my partner in crime, the one and only XG and the place to be, Xavier Guerrero.
Boom, dude.
And then we found out Xavier isn't even his real name. So he's got three names and nobody knows who we're talking about.
The born identity.
Did your sister even come to the show?
Yeah, she was there.
Oh, I
had a great time. Yeah.
How come you didn't introduce us? Are you ashamed of me, dude?
No.
I can't believe you're ashamed of me. What am I, fat?
No, everyone had a great time.
Guys,
Austin
thank
was
you.
Amazing.
Austin was amazing. Thank you. Alex Jones for having us on. Everybody, thank you so much for all the kind words about us being on InfoWars. Alex sent me a nice text saying that everyone's loving the episode, so I want to thank him. Yes, he was a nice guy. Can you believe that? I can't believe the guy that everybody's demonizing is actually a nice person. You mean what is up is really down? Yeah, that's what's going on. A lot of stuff going on. Guys, this Tuesday or tomorrow night, they're both almost sold out, so grab your tickets now. ABX.org, that's absoluteextract.org, is presenting Comedy Chaos live at the world-famous Comedy Store. Go to thecomedystore.com. Second show, Mark Norman, Joey, Coco Diaz, Eddie Bravo, Andrew Santino, Jackie Fabulous, and more. The lineup is stacked. And those tickets are moving quickly. I'm told it's going to be sold out soon. So grab your tickets now. Now, if you like weed, you like vape pens, you like all this stuff, go to our good friends at Absolute Extract. Use the promo code CHAOS. And you get 20% off everything. Dude, they are mad scientists in laboratories over there. They're going next level with this thing. Okay? Anything you need to get your marijuana on, go to ABX.com. They got flower, vape pens, they got anal bleaching. They got everything you need to feel better about yourself. Okay? Go to abx.org, use the promo code CHAOS. What else we got? We have on October 4th. We're proud. We're going to the Gramercy in New York City. That's right. Myself, Eddie Bravo, XG, and Lauren Petrie of the Electric Kool-Aid Podcast. We'll all be there. It is Escape to New York, because we're not afraid of you, New York. We're not afraid. Come get weird. And then I'm proud to announce we're having an after party at Creek in the Cave. That's right. So live show at the Gramercy with a after party at Creek and the Cave. So come get weird. Hang out with us. We want to rock. New York, we got one shot at this. We need you to come out in force. If you work, call in sick. Come and hang out and watch the power of comedy rock. What else do we got? Oh, then we got October 22nd. We are at the main room at the Comedy Store. Once upon the main room. That artwork is being done by my man Brock. And it's coming out very soon. Brett Bach is going to be putting it out, and it's Once Upon a Time in the Main Room, myself, Eddie Bravo, Tim Dillon, and I'm going to see what other conspiracy, and XG in the place to be, we're going to see what conspiracy theories we can come hang out. Tickets are moving. Go to thecomedystore.com and grab them now. Let's go big, America. Come to L.A. Hang out with us.
Wise guys, October 19th.
October 19th?
Salt Lake City.
Oh, snap. I'm always... October 19th, we are at Salt Lake City. I got to make that flyer. I got to come up with what I want to do on that one. Because nobody's telling me. I need Mormons to let me know if this is offensive. I did the book of, I don't know, MK Ultra or something like that. I'm figuring it out. Where's that? Look that up real quick. It's Wise Guys.
Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City. Come get your tickets. Eddie Bravo, myself, XG, and the place to be. Going hard in the paint for the Mormons because we love you. Hey, when I went to college, there was nobody more attracted than Jack Mormons. Okay, those ladies. Yeah. They bring the lady heat. What else do we got? We got the Patreons on fire, everybody. I'm just cranking them out. We're going to get back to conspiracies now this week. So you begin that.
It's working.
Twerking in politics.
It's coming.
It's coming. You're going to be able to go on. Go to our YouTube / Sam Triple A and check out Twerking in Politics. And if you're watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. I love how I did Alex Jones when they're acting like nobody subscribed to my thing. I mean, YouTube, you're messing with us.
They're fucking with the numbers.
Yeah,
they don't like us.
They don't like us. They think we're afraid. YouTube. Tinfoil Hat. Go to tinfoilhattshirts.com. That's Tinfoil Hat T-shirts. All the T-shirts are up. Look at that. Look at that pretty shirt. That is the Tinfoil Hat Texas Comedy Massacre. That T-shirt's up. Steal Your Tinfoil Hat is up. Okay. Tinfoil Hat
out.
Unicorn.
We sold out.
Yeah. They're all there. All the classics that you're looking for. It's a great way to support the show. And the Patreon's a great way to support the show. Today's show, I'm very excited to welcome our new sponsors. Do you guys like to read? Of course. We all do. Do you read a lot, XG?
Of course, yeah. Who doesn't
What's
read a lot?
What's your favorite books to read?
Huh?
Okay, that's what I thought. Real quick, guys. I love reading. You like read. I actually think that reading podcasts are the new books because everybody's so busy. It's hard to get in there. I'm proud to announce our new friends over at Blinkist. That's right. Blinkist. That's right. What we're basically talking about is an app that helps you power read through your books. It bangs out the 15 most important minutes of the book and lets you know. It's a really great. It's one of the ultimate life hacks. My secret weapon for learning things and getting ahead. Okay? We're so busy. I'm Neo from the Matrix. I got to learn Kung Fu quickly. Okay? I need to download information. And our good friends at Blinkist are the ones to get it done. It is very unique. It works on your phone, your tablet, your browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condense it just down to 15 minutes, man. How great is that? We're going to talk to our next guest. We'll get his book on here. 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful people like business leaders are all well-known for reading books a lot. Blinkist is the made for busy people like you and me. I listen to them all. I've been going through some of these cool books they have. They have so many of them, dude. They have, where is it right here? The River in Darkness, I'm excited about. The Tribe. Us versus Them. The Failure of Globalism. Okay?
You never have headphones on the airport. Is that what you were listening to?
Yeah. That's how I do. I'm Liars, Leakers, and Liberals. The Case Against Anti-Trump Conspiracies. Look at that. That's all there. You can get all these. Fear by Bob Woodward. It's the edge of chaos. Why democracy is failing to deliver economic growth. I mean, they're all there. You want, and they don't just have to be like silly books. I mean, serious books like that. Everything is there. That's right. So what I need you guys to do. I mean, here are some of the books that are on there, dude. Real quick, of course. The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. How to Win Friends. Four hour Work Week. I love that. That's a podcaster, by the way. 4-hour work week. That's right. So right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just our audience. Go to Blinkist.com. That's Blinkist.com/hat and try it for free 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist spelled Blinkist.com/hat. Shopify.com/hat to start your free order now, 7-day trial. Your free 7-day trial. And you'll get 25% off, but only when you sign up using Blinkist.com/hat. Hey, are you excited about that, Aaron? What? Okay, that's enough of the business. We appreciate you. Guys, let's get into it. We had to start a little later today, so I know you're already going to be yelling and screaming at me, but it is what it is. We had some technical difficulties in the podcast studio, but now we got them fixed. Joining us, can you look up his book real quick? It's right here. You know what it is? Look it up. Joining us via the power of the phone, he is an author, and he has an amazing book out called American Conspiracies and Cover-Ups. Please welcome author, Douglas Cingano. Did I get it right?
Close enough. Cingano.
Cingano. Thank you so much, Douglas, for joining us, and I apologize for the janky transition. I got a lot of stuff going on. How are you, my friend?
Good. It's good to talk to you. I had never heard of your show before, but then I saw your a couple of podcasts in the last week, and you look like you got an excellent show.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I really do. You know, we're kind of like, we call ourselves the training wheels to conspiracies. You start with us, you go a little deeper. And you've been working in the world of conspiracies for a while. Am I correct? This has kind of been your thing. You've been on InfoWars. Tell us a little bit, our listeners, a little bit about yourself.
Oh, well, I actually just started this book about 7 or 8 years ago, really. And I have had some good articles on different websites, even got one on InfoWars. But actually, I'd always wanted to be a writer, and I just got success with it recently. I grew up in the 70s, you know, so back then everybody was questioning the establishment, you know. That was a thing to do. And then it was always my inclination to be like a muckraking journalist. So about 7 or 8 years ago, I started interviewing people about conspiracy theories. And then about a year ago, I realized I had enough together. So I sent it off to Skyhorse Publishing, who's one of the biggest publishers of conspiracy theory literature. They publish Jesse Ventura and Jerome Kersey and Roger Stone. So actually, the same editor who edited my book was Roger Stone editor. So they published it, so I'm happy about that, about 4 months ago. And my book is unique because it's a book of interviews. And I got interviews with like some of the best-known conspiracy theory authors in the world. I got Jim Mars on the New World Order, G. Edward Griffin on the Federal Reserve, Noam Chomsky on the mainstream media. I got Lyndon Johnson's lawyer, Barr McClellan on the Kennedy assassination. I got David Ray Griffin on 9/11, William Pepper, a friend of Martin Luther King. So I got really good guys. I think that's what makes the book interesting.
I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. How did all these conspiracy theorists, what, did you find that they had like a common theme behind them? I know they're authors, but the conspiracy theorists and these authors, was there like a kind of a theme that kind of connected all them together? Was there some kind of like attribute or one thing about them you like that was common amongst all of them?
Well, you know, I think maybe what's common is that I think there's a shadow government, you know, there's elites who are running the world. And maybe a lot of the conspiracies are coming from there, you know. I think the Bilderberg group, that's the one a lot of people know about. And there's been, I think, a conspiracy to manipulate politics ever since an organization called the Illuminati was formed in the late 1700s. So I think super wealthy guys for 250 years, have been getting together, manipulating politics from behind the scenes. And I think maybe that's the common thread, you know. I think there's a deep state.
Well, you do believe there's a deep state?
Yes, definitely. I think you do, too. I watch a few of your podcasts.
Thank you. Thank you. So my question to you is, when, like, did you just start getting into conspiracies before this? Or have you always questioned what was really going on?
I think if you grew up in the 60s and 70s, you questioned what was going on. And then, yeah, about like 1979, I'm 60 years old. So in 1979, I got this, started getting underground newspapers, which told you what's really going on, you know, that the banks are privately owned and that the Trilateral Commission and Federal Reserve is running everything and that international bankers want to have a big brother government. I got this newsletter in 79 called Cosmic Awareness Communications, which was pretty good. It gave you all this information. But then I think with the advent of the Internet, that's when everybody started to realize these things, because I think the internet is exposing all these corruptions and conspiracies in a big way, I think.
When you started interviewing these guys, it wasn't the intent on writing a book, or was that the always intent, or did you just realize, hey, I have enough interviews to put together a book I think the truth community would really enjoy?
Yes, that's it. I started interviewing with the idea of trying to break into journalism, but then, I got enough together. I realized I had a good book, So
that's excellent.
And but what you said, I didn't have the idea I was going to do a book, but then after a while, I realized I had enough together.
Perfect. So I want to get into some of your some of the people you've interviewed, because some of them are my favorites, and some of them I'm just learning a little about. But the guy who got me started in everything was Noam Chomsky. He's been famous for he's kind of like one of the original conspiracy theorists, even past Bill Cooper, who's famous for his Behold the Pale Horse, which came out in the 90s. But, I mean, there's videos of Noam Chomsky debating, we'll say, the face of the power establishment for a very long time, very famous for his criticisms of the of the Vietnam War, you know, his famous battles with Buckley. Like, had you been following him for a very long time?
I've probably known about him. He's like one of the most famous professors in the world. But, you know, he doesn't consider himself a conspiracy theorist, but he does like, you know, he's very, I guess his viewpoints might be considered radical. But I learned about him probably in 1985, but I did do an interview with him about the corporate media. But he doesn't really accept, like, all the conspiracy theories that you and I and, like, the people who watch Alex Jones accepts. He thought maybe Kennedy was killed by one of the husbands of one of his girlfriends, you know.
Interview happened very long. Like, what is the span of these interviews? Over how long, over what period did these interviews happen?
I would say the last 10 years,
Okay, So when you interviewed Noam Chomsky, when was this around?
That was about 5 years ago,
5 years?
And, But I think it's pretty, I've still got a lot of pertinent information there,
For sure. Because he's always talked about manufacturing consent. And as we've seen going on, like you know, I read Chomsky in college, which wasn't the farthest thing from jail. It was a wonderful time. But I remember reading it, and it really resonated with me, the ability of the media to, in fact, just basically create the consent of the nation. Because Americans and people in general are a very trusting people, almost to a point of, I'd say, a fault. Like, we're gullible. I say this all the time on the show. When you see these shows where they kind of pull stuff on people, these prank shows, what they're really doing is pranking nice people. And the media has basically taken advantage of how nice Americans are and how much we want to believe and that we're one unit.
And how stupid they are.
Right.
Like hunting, like all the ghost hunting and shit. And they just throw shit at and they expect us to believe everything.
Well, we do.
Some of us do.
I mean, like, if you take a look right now with the whole Ukraine thing going on, it's like they're literally accusing Trump of what basically Obama and Hillary did with the FISA reports. And it's just like, he told them to go and, like, dig up stuff on Joe Biden. That's exactly what they had Steele do with the Steele dossier or Dozer or whatever it's called, you know, and they made it all up. And that's exactly, now I'm not telling you Trump is a good guy. I'm not telling you that Trump is like, oh, poor victim, but I'm saying that's literally what they do all the time, is they take their weaknesses and project it onto their opponents. Manufacturing consent. What was the basic theme, Douglas, from Noam Chomsky?
Well, I interviewed about him about whether or not the media is controlled, you know, and he thinks that, you know, there's just too much corporate influence over the media. You know, the big corporations own the media, so they're going to protect the corporate interests, whereas other people might think it's a conspiracy. Like, a lot of people think the Council on Foreign Relations is run so many media outlets that it's running the media, and the Council on Foreign Relations is one of the New World Order groups. And a lot of people think the CIA, because the Church Committee concluded that the CIA has so many influence in the media. So, you know, is it more of a conspiracy by the Council on Foreign Relations and the CIA, or is it just more corporate influence, which is what Chomsky believes?
For sure. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because you have all these groups, the CFR, the Bilderberg Group, and then you have, like, the Illuminati, the Freemasons, and it's almost like people think there could be only one group, but it's like, what if they all work their own thing, the CIA, they all have their turf, they have all their specialties. It's kind of like gangs, right? Like, L.A. has probably 100 gangs. And I'm sure some of those gangs work together at some point, but they all have their own purpose, their own thing. Doesn't mean that there's no gangs or that one gang runs everything. All these gangs work together, and they all have their own specific focus that sometimes overlap with each other.
Yeah. I'm of the opinion that at the heart of the deep state conspiracy is international bankers, the richest guy in the world. And sometimes I think they control all the other gangs. But maybe it's what you say, that everybody's going a different direction. I don't know. I don't know if it is. You know, I think it's international bankers who are the biggest gang, you know?
Noam Chomsky did a doc called Requiem for the American Dream. And in there, he had a reference for them. And they're called the Masters of Mankind. And, you know, within conspiracies, you always hear people, and I think they're... I don't want to be insulting, but I think when you just say the word Jews, I think you're very limited in your knowledge. Because if you really study, there's so many layers above that. And the more and more I study this stuff.
I didn't say Jews.
No, you didn't. You didn't. I didn't say that at all. I'm saying that when you listen to people talk about who runs the world, and you have these people just regurgitating old BS about Jews running everything, and you know, Jews are just like anybody else. They're a group. They want to have, you know, they want to be able to support the family, have a laugh, have a drink, get laid once in a while. But at the top of the power structure, I believe it's something called the Black Cube of Saturn. The Saturnists, some call them Satanists, Luciferians. I think those are all made up names to cover up what they really are, which is these Black Cube of Saturn people.
You think that's like the deepest part of the deep state?
Yeah, I think the deepest of the deep state of every country, whether it's the United States, Canada, Europe, England. Latin America, England's part of Europe, Israel, you know, at the highest levels, they're no longer Jews or Christians or Muslims, but they're actually just... dark arts. I mean, like the Vatican, if you go around the Vatican, you'll see that there's like so much Black Cube of Saturn references, like stuff that makes no sense. And, you know, I know Catholicism is its own thing, but it is a part of Christianity. And I think they have nothing to do with Christianity. And that's not insulting Catholics, because your religion is you. You are your religion. You are what you believe. And these people at the top do not represent you. You allow them to act like they're the head of your shit, but they're really not. And your religion is your religion.
So, do you think these are super rich guys, or do you believe they're aliens?
Hey, dude, I think it's everything. I think, you know what I always say, man? I say, you know what's going on in the world? Imagine every movie ever all going on at one time. That's why things going on. Kind of like we said, how there's a bunch of groups running stuff. I think there's a bunch of different factions at work. You know, my best friend is Eddie Bravo. He doesn't believe in aliens. But, you know, I was just on Alex Jones and this guy talking about flat earth. He was talking about ETs, extraterrestrial, what is terrestrial territory. They might be from another part of past the wall or whatever it is. I'm not, Aaron, I'm not saying flat earth. I'm just having a discussion here. Okay? And the point is,
I just watched that yesterday, that flat earth thing you did with Alex Jones. I had never heard anything about that before.
Yeah,
it's pretty interesting. I don't know. I got to look more into it, I guess.
Depends on who you talk to. It all might go back to flat earth. That might be the biggest of all the conspiracies, as I hear Aaron's butthole start tightening up on us because we're getting a little too close to the truth. But the point is, at the highest levels, man, if you really study all this stuff, like why in Mecca do Muslims go around a black cube 8 times counterclockwise? Why on some Judaism, outfits. There's a black cube on their hat. I mean, like, you look at, like, if you the center of the Star of David is a cube. If you undo a cube, it's a cross. I mean, like, it all goes back to this thing.
These guys are Satanists, you're saying?
No, Satan. There's no such thing as Satanists. They're Saturnists. And they've taken everything from Satanism. They taken everything from Saturnism and applied it to Satanism and demonized it when it's really Saturnism, so you don't look at it.
Oh, they're not good guys, though, you're saying.
I mean, if you think sacrificing children and, like, weird shit, that's it.
Yes, man.
That is the biggest, darkest whole part of that whole thing, and it's that all goes back to something called Kronos. Kronos is the god of time, and it was prophesied that his children would kill him and take over. So every time his wife had a child, he would eat the children, and that's where the ritual of child sacrifice comes from. It's dark, dark arts. Dark, dark arts. There's a reason why the Clintons have been associated with four different satanic pedophile cults just this year, the Clinton Global Initiative. Yeah.
Yeah. That's something I wrote about, but I've heard about all this stuff, and it's really freaking horrible to think about. I think what you're saying, there's some truth to that. I mean, just look, they caught this guy Epstein. He has so many connections to powerful people. So, I mean, to think that such bad people are up there maybe influencing things is horrible to think about.
It is.
I heard
horrible.
Trump's trying to stop it, though.
Trump is. I mean, like, whether Aaron wants to admit it or not, every day we see giant arrests going on. You know, you could do bad things and do good things at the same time. I mean, I'm not. You know, politicians, I don't think, are 2D that they're either one or the other. They could be both sides. And, you know, now you got Trump. Everyone's mad at him for the Iran thing about him sending ships over there, but I don't know if it's happened yet. And everybody's getting mad at it.
Yeah.
And if he is doing it, it just kind of destroys the illusion that our military is about defense and it's really about being stormtroopers for the international banking couple, you know? So we'll see what happens. He ran on ending these wars. I guess he's trying to sign a peace treaty with Afghanistan. And, of course, the false flags happened and that they blamed it on the Taliban, which means he ended the treaties. I want to get another person you interviewed, Dr. William Pepper. Dr. William Pepper, he specializes in the assassination of Martin Luther King. Can you tell us a little bit about Mr. Dr. Pepper? Dr. Pepper.
Oh, yeah. Is it the soda or the guy? No. He was like a very close friend with Martin Luther King in the last year of his life. And actually, he was one of the pallbearers at his funeral.
And oh, my God.
In 1999, he sued this guy who claimed that there was a conspiracy to kill Martin Luther King. And the jury concluded that the government was involved with the assassination. And some of the evidence that he brought out, this guy was connected to Memphis police and also to, at the trial, Pepper, he had ex-Army intelligence guys say that they were in Memphis on April 4th, 1968, when King was killed with orders to shoot King. You know, he had evidence that these guys were confessing to, and the jury concluded that the government was behind the assassination.
So who did he sue? Did he get sued or did somebody sue him?
The King family, Dr. King's sons and his wife, sued this guy named Lloyd Jowers, who said he was part of a conspiracy. He was like a Memphis resident, and apparently the mafia there brought him in, but the people who were controlling the mafia was probably U.S. intelligence. Because, you know, in 1968, Martin King, although he preached peace, he was all the riotings and fires and civil unrest at that time was being inspired by Martin Luther King. So maybe the government wanted to kill him for that reason. Plus, he was going to start protesting the Vietnam War. So the family sued this guy for $1 just to see what the jury would say. And the jury concluded that, yes, this guy was part of a conspiracy along with the U.S. government. That's what the jury concluded.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you talk about these I don't know how, what the reference was, army people, special forces guys, we've now seen that, and this is not part of your book, but just stuff that I've noticed. We've seen now with you know, all these false flags going on. We have witnesses talking about how four men in black army fatigue showed up, and they were shooting.
Oh, yes.
And that's what all the witnesses talk about at first. And then it gets whittled down to a, you know, one lone gunman that the FBI's always heard about all the time.
Yes.
They always know about him, and they didn't do anything. But instead of, like, having the FBI actually act on these tips and do some research, everybody else just wants to take guns away because that's what they're told to do. And when the guns go away, the fun goes away. And it's just the truth.
No.
And if you're Jewish, if you're a woman, if you're an ethnic minority, if you're gay, you should really study the history of guns. We say here all the time, study it. Because when the guns go away, the fun goes away.
Then the people are suppressed, right? And maybe a lot, you think maybe a lot of these shootings around, maybe they're coming from intelligence agencies, so that everybody will be convinced to give up their guns? You think that's what's happening? I think it could be happening.
100%. I mean, like, someone's telling me when the Kent State shooting, which was a very long time ago, David Cross, of all the people, was trying to act like we should apologize to Richard Nixon for impeaching him. I'm like, are you nuts? I mean, this is a man who openly bragged about starting the drug war to cripple the black community and hippies. This is a guy who negotiated with the Vietnamese to hold off ending the war so he could win his election. This is the guy that took the U.S. off the gold standard and onto the petrodollar, and who, since then, we've been terrorizing any country trying to get off it. What are you talking about, David Cross? Like, are you that?
You think he Do you think he ordered the shootings at Kent State, or?
Well, I mean, they say after the shootings, that's when we got the National Guard. It's always after a tragedy, they slip stuff in, you know? And then you see it with 9/11 and the Patriot Act, which took so much of our civil liberties away. And that the guy who wrote it was Kavanaugh. And what the right doesn't realize is this whole sexcapades thing that they made his hearing about was not to vet him out and try to take him down, but it was actually the left helping out the right by framing his trial as about what he did in high school, even though there was no witness to it, nobody agreed to it, instead of actually looking at what he did.
Oh, he was involved with 9/11, Kavanaugh?
Kavanaugh was involved with writing the Patriot Act.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that. Jeez. So, we should get rid of him.
So I love it, dude. So did you talk to Miss Dr. Pepper? I love it. I'm never gonna be able to say that again. Dr. Pepper about Jesse Jackson and any role he might have had in this, because later on we find out that Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton were both FBI assets, and that basically he was on the balcony when the shots happened, and it doesn't even look like he was ducking, you know, right there, knew exactly where the shooter was and all the stuff, conveniently. Did you have any discussion with Dr. Pepper about his role in this whole thing?
Well, he called Jesse Jackson a scumbag when I talked to him, so maybe. I know some people think Jesse Jackson, I don't know, might have been a part of it, and I know the King family doesn't like him. I know Dr. Pepper doesn't like Jesse Jackson. I don't know if he said that he was part of a conspiracy to kill King, but there might be evidence for that, right? Maybe he was, huh?
What do you think of the recent attempts by the mainstream media to demonize Martin Luther King with this with the suggestion that there's tapes out there of Martin Luther King laughing at a woman getting raped?
Oh, I heard about that. Well, you know, geez, I don't know. You know, I guess everybody can have their own opinion on that. You know, if he had problems like abusing women, then maybe some people can stop reading his books or whatever. Some people will maybe say he's just human or whatever.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, if you ever want to know who runs society, you know, when a famous woman cheats on her her husband, it's because he didn't show her enough attention and she needed love. When a famous man cheats on his woman, it's because he's a dog and he's a horn dog and he's just like keep his dick in his pants. And no disrespect, I love women. We're blessed to have a bunch of smoke shows who listen to the show, and we love you ladies for sure. But make no doubts about it. The notion of being a womanizer is a contrived thing. It's not real. It is like what as a male or female, what are your basic needs?
You know he was getting wiretapped?
Yeah, well,
right? And they caught him with like a bunch of females cheating on his wife and stuff.
Yeah, but my point dude, it's like you know, it's like this whole Jordan Peterson said something about this, the whole thing about people judging famous successful men on banging everything that moves. And it tends to be women who obviously don't want that because their whole thing is to lock down the male, and guys who can't do it, right? Dudes who can't bang everything that moves. They get it really, dude, you're womanizing chicks like that, you know? It's just like, dude, you would be doing it too in a heartbeat, you know? It's like, that's like when you break it down to the most primal things, it's really just, hey, you know, women want a male that can provide resources, take care of the offspring. Men need to spread their seed. Now, I'm not saying love doesn't matter and all that stuff. And, you know, you find the right woman, you should settle down. Of course. But the notion, like Kevin Hart's going through this shit. The guy can't stop banging everything that moves. He's doing family films and he wants to bang everything. Guess what? He's a bazillionaire and he should be able to do whatever he wants to. Because guess what? All of his kids are going to get taken care of. Because he's a successful male. Do what you got to do.
I think it's between the guy and his wife, right? It should be between the guy and his wife.
Yeah.
Like they brought that up that thing with Trump when he said he wants to grab the pussy, right? Guys talk like that. Women talk like that. You know, it's not that important. But what's important is like 300,000 children are being sex trafficked every month or so, every year in the United States. Why doesn't the media bring that up and do something about that instead of Donald Trump making some crude remark that every guy has made in a locker room, you know?
Yeah, and then the guys acted like, guys, we got to stop talking like this. And I'm like, dude, I know you, bro. You film chicks blowing you without them knowing. What are we talking about here? I think hypocrisy should be at least a misdemeanor.
Sounds about right.
Right? Like, you should have to be like, whatever you're being hypocritical about, you should have to pay off publicly, right? If you're like if you're a Republican who's anti-gay and you get caught doing gay shit, you should have to like do that during the halftime show at the Super Bowl. Just make everybody see your hypocrisy because you're just acting like you walk on water and you're not. Listen, I love everybody of all groups, Muslims, Jews, Christians. I love everybody except for one group. I hate 100% across the board, and that's male feminists, okay? Male feminists are scumbags, okay? They're snitches. They get stitches, all right? They're acting like, oh, I love women. And all the time, they're getting busted sexually assaulting people because they're beta cucks, and they realize they can't compete with alphas, so they try to use some backdoor action to get pooned, and guess what? It blows up in their face. They're all hypocrites. Guys want to bang chicks. If a guy acts like he doesn't want to bang you ladies, he's a liar, okay?
No guy wants to be the friend zone.
No guy. What guy's like, you know, I wish I had more female friends so we could just talk about nothing that I enjoy talking about, like football and beer and tits. I want to talk about feelings and shopping and stuff like and black guys. You know, what are we talking about here? I want to get into your next guy because this one I really like. G. Edward Griffin. What was G. Edward Griffin about? He's a very well known for a book he wrote, which probably one of the biggest conspiracy books out there, which is The Creature from Jekyll Island. What was it like talking to him?
Oh, it's pretty good. I think he's a very clear thinker. He's a clear writer, you know. I think he's very popular. You're right. He's always got high-rated books on Amazon. I interviewed him about the Federal Reserve, and I think that might be at the heart of the deep state corruption is the banking system. If we could get rid of the big banks, then we could have – oh, you going in and out? Hello?
Hello. We hear you. We hear you.
We can hear you.
We can hear you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I thought we were going in and out. Yeah, I interviewed him about how, you know, the central banks, they lend money created out of nothing, and then that causes debt and inflation. And if each government would just issue their own money on the gold standard or in proper proportion, there wouldn't be debt and inflation, and, you know, we could have a happy economy and a happy society, you know? I think the banking system is really at the heart of deep state conspiracy.
For sure, my friend, for sure. I agree with that. A lot of people think this whole sending ships, Navy, to Saudi Arabia is about protecting the petrodollar. Again, Nixon took us off the gold standard, put us on the petrodollar, which allowed the Federal Reserve to print unlimited money. And it's actually called fractional reserve banking. And it's the most...
Yeah.
If it wasn't so evil and so diabolical, I would tell you it's the most brilliant idea in the history of time. Just imagine if you created, you made the world into Monopoly, right?
Yeah.
And you just could just reach into a bank and hand funny money to everybody. And now you get the whole system on funny money while you keep the real money, the real gold, the real silver.
That's a bankers conspiracy. Yeah, that's what I talked about with G.R. Griffin. Rich are getting richer and the whole society is getting... screwed by inflation and debt, you know?
They basically found a way to bribe everybody and not really spend one real dollar doing it. And that's what everybody's doing. Everybody's selling their soul for this fake money. The money you have in your bank account isn't real. It's not real.
Yeah.
It's made up.
Yeah.
And that's why when they pull their notes, it crashes.
Go in there and ask for your money. Ask for more than $10,000. They literally have to say, can you give us a second?
Yeah, hey, what? Are you pulling off?
Yeah, let me go ask for it.
But, he was part of, G. Edward Griffin is a part of the John Birch Society, which is very interesting because you don't hear a lot about the society. Do you know anything about the John Birch Society?
Oh, yeah, I think maybe they started in the 50s, and what they were really against was communism. They thought communism was going to take the world over the world. They might have been right, but now they believe... that it's the United Nations that wants to be the world government, and they're right about that. I think they're right about a lot of things. If you go on their website, you can see they got a lot of good books. You were talking about your book site, but they got a lot of good books about things that I think you would agree with.
So a very interesting thing about the John Birch side, there was a gentleman named, he was Representative McDonald. So this guy's on a famous talk show way back, I think it's in the 60s, and the two hosts, Pat Buchanan was one of them. And they were, let me see real quick if I can find it. Yeah, Larry McDonald. He's on the show with Pat Buchanan. And I forget who the other host is. But the other host is so angry and a total dick, okay? And they're interviewing, and Larry McDonald talks about the New World Order. And about how basically there's this couple that's trying to take over, that's going to spread communism, which is very interesting. Because you always heard that as like this kind of boogeyman stuff. But if you look what's going on right now with Google, with Israel working with China, there is almost this push to spread communism. Now, I don't believe personally, and I'm about to get pounded in the comment sections on this, but I personally don't believe that socialism leads right to communism, okay? Because there's a big difference. There's a far difference between where we are to Russia. Now, it's very interesting that everyone's mad at Russia, but we're all working with China. You ever think about why that happens?
Because they run the world.
I think it has to do with Kazarians and the Kazarian mafia and how Russia always banged with the went to war with the Kazarians and Kazaria. And how they basically made them change their religion and all this stuff. And it's old, old wars from back in the day. So why would the international bankers be working with China and have and want to battle with Russia the whole time? I think it's old school fight. And maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
You think we'll team up with China?
What's that?
You think we'll team up with China?
We're never going to team up. I don't know, man. I don't know. The thing is that Israel's working with China. So I think Israel's playing both of the they're playing both sides. So whichever one wins, they're on that winning side, kind of like what all the international bankers did during World War II. They all worked with they worked with Germany, and they worked with all the Axis powers, you know.
Or they work with both sides, right?
They work with both sides in case both sides win. And you see that in modern day politics. I know it was an axis of evil or axis of power. I got you, the allies, all right? He talked about the creature from Jekyll Island. Do you think Trump will ever get rid of the Fed? He keeps talking about it.
Oh, man, I think it's interesting that he keeps talking about that, because I don't think Trump's a professional politician, you know? I think he's I don't know, I think he's a good guy. Some people think not, but he's always talking about how the Fed is at the heart of our problems and how can he improve the economy if the Fed's doing something else. It'd be great if he eventually got rid of the Fed. I mean, I think Trump, he might have been I think the internet is making more people aware, and I think he's a product of that. He came in, he said vaccines can be dangerous, elections can be rigged. He's teaching us as a deep state, fake news, and maybe get rid of the Fed. So if we continue to elect people like Trump, maybe we could get rid of the Fed and the deep state and fake news. I don't know.
Maybe I hope he does. I hope he does. I mean, he does. Yeah. If he does one of two things, he will have my vote. And I tell you, I'm never going to vote for a Republican or a Democrat ever again. But if he does this, he'll get my vote. If he either arrests Hillary Clinton or ends the Fed, which one do you think is more impossible to do?
Hillary Clinton.
It's crazy. She has everybody.
How about he helped out Julian Assange?
I would think about if he could release Julian Assange. I don't know how you get elected by his WikiLeaks begging him to release it and then not help him out. I don't know, man.
Oh yeah, he should help him. He should help him out. Yeah.
So I want to get into the next one. Joe Bannister. Now, this is very interesting. This is a former IRS agent. Okay.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Now, the personal income tax bill was brought in by Woodrow Wilson, who has to do with the Federal Reserve. He brought in one day. He brought in, I think it was 1913, yeah. I believe, brought in on Christmas Eve, mm-hmm. the 24th. He brought in the Federal Reserve Act and the Personal Income Tax Act. On that day, we started paying taxes permanently. We used to only pay them during war times, but now it was a constant thing. Would you say that Woodrow Wilson, what year is that, does it say?
Yeah.
Oh, no, no.
1913, probably.
Yeah. Do you think he's the worst president of all time?
Maybe, but I think the guy who really brought it in, yeah, he did, but Senator Nelson Aldrich, who was Rockefeller's father-in-law, and so he's part of the elites, and I think the income tax and the Federal Reserve is a way for all the money to go over to the bank and to the government and for the public to lose all their financial strength, and that's what the elites want. They want the banks to be rich and the government to be rich and the public to be poor. And then they want to shove us into Big Brother concentration camps. And the main way they do it is through the income tax and the Federal Reserve. So I think Wilson is bad, but more Nelson Aldrich, Rockefeller's father-in-law, I think he was really more responsible for that, you know?
Well, I love it. So did he talk to you at all about the IRS being a private company that's not part of the U.S. government?
He did not. I did not get into that with him, but he thinks the income tax is unconstitutional and it's not good and the IRS is too abusive. He didn't get into that. It's a private company, is it?
Yeah. It is not part of the U.S. government. There's no law.
Same with the federal.
Yeah. Now, did he get into how who we pay our taxes to?
He said it ends up all being paid to pay off the debt. That's what he said. He believed that. You know, it doesn't go for services, you know. I don't think the income tax was ever created to, like, have health care or to, like, help the people. It was created to sap the economic strength of the country. It's a conspiracy to destroy us economically so the banks and the government can get all our money. He said the whole thing goes to pay the debt to the Federal Reserve and whoever else we're borrowing money from.
Yeah, and I wonder who that is. I wonder who that is. I bet you Have you ever heard the theory that we, that 20% of our money, of our taxes, goes to the royal family?
I never heard that, but it could be. I think they're probably powerful people. I never heard it, but I think all that tax money is wasted, you know? It's all stolen and wasted. You know, the founding fathers never wanted an income tax. They never wanted a central bank like the Federal Reserve. That's where all the corruption is, you know?
Yeah, it's so interesting. Like, I think we pay our taxes from, I think our income tax money, someone was talking about, goes to the, I mean, it was a secret deal supposedly set up by Ben Franklin, who was a Freemason, with the royal family way back in the day. I don't know. I'm trying to find it. Let's get through it because we're getting some. Let's get into two interesting people you interviewed, Dr. Ralph Ross and Dr. Alan Cantwell. They're both very interesting because both of them believe that there is both cancer and AIDS are one are curable. One believes they're not even real. Like Dr. Alan Cantwell believes that AIDS is a hoax. I know that's something that G. Edward Griffin believes. That's not even real.
Oh, I don't know about that, but he really believes that AIDS came from bad vaccines. That's his main point. There was a vaccine given out in 1979 exclusively to gay men in America, and then there was a vaccine by the CDC. Then there was a vaccine given out to Africans by the World Health Organization in 1979. He believes that's where AIDS came from, and, you know, that goes into are vaccines dangerous or not. They might be so dangerous they started the AIDS epidemic. The theory is that maybe very powerful, influential men, the elites or the deep state, they want to decrease the world's population, so they use their influence to start AIDS, to kill off blacks and gays. What the hell? They're just blacks and gays. Why not kill them, you know?
Well, yeah, if you read the book Behold the Pale Horse, they talk about how they're going to push. There's going to be a big influence. And you should read your book and also read Behold the Pale Horse because
William Cooper, right?
Yeah, it basically everything it talks about is happening right now about how they're going to push the gay lifestyle and have no problems with gays. I was talking to somebody. I'm like, if you're telling me the chemicals in the food, they're spraying, they're doing all stuff to make people gay, and these people are gay, that's no different than us eating something unhealthy and getting cancer. It's the same thing. They're victims of circumstances and situations, okay? But there's a Bill Cooper talks about how there's going to be this push through pop culture and everything to turn people gay. And then on top of that, they're going to put the AIDS virus out. So they're going to try to make more people gay and then eliminate them through AIDS. And we saw it was like super crippling. There's some people don't believe AIDS exists, that it's actually just your weakening of your immune system, and that you're just doing so much drugs. What's very interesting is I got an AIDS test, right? And right before I took the AIDS test, the doctor came in and asked me if I was gay. And I'm like, no. He goes, okay. And he just walked right out. I wonder what would have happened if I said I was gay. Would it come back gay? Would it come back I have AIDS?
Because you had been with a million women, so you were worried that you caught that one.
Well, no, I got sick and they ran blood work on me. They just decided to run blood work, and then they just came in and asked me if I was gay.
Because you're not supposed to get it when you're straight, supposedly.
Right, so it's like mostly through butt sex and shooting it up. It's a very delicate virus. It dies very easily when it hits oxygen. It dies. So that's why it has to be injected into you. Yeah.
It can't be airborne.
But they had to make women think they're going to get it so people could send them money for a cure. They have a cure, dude. They have a cure to everything. Cancer, you name it, they have a cure.
Imagine how many people would have not have donated if it was just, it's just for the gays.
Oh, for sure,
dude. Just for the gays.
Yes, just for the
gays. Not donating all of a sudden. Because they were assholes back then. It wasn't the same people that are now.
Now they can make it so you are undetectable.
Oh, yeah, there's a pill.
Well, that's to stop you from getting it. And now these people are having other problems. It's kind of like when you see any pharmaceutical drug. It's like it cures an upset stomach, but you're suicidal now and you have explosive diarrhea. It's like, Why am I taking this?
Yeah.
I'm having blowouts in my pants, but, you know, I don't have an upset stomach anymore. What'd you learn about, I mean, what'd you learn from these guys about cancer? What was the thought about alternative cancer? Did they talk about how any of these, how all these alternative, and I hate the phrase alternative, but alternative doctors are being killed? Did they talk about that?
He didn't tell you that, but he told me, you know, they always seem to suppress some alternative doctor or whatever you want to call it. He's got some good treatment, and it's working on people, making them better, and sometimes curing them. And then the FDA comes in, harasses the doctor, closes them down. You know, it's like, if you want to read a book about this, Politics and Healing by Daniel Haley, it's so amazing how many times that's happened. It makes you suspicious. One guy who thought mega doses of vitamin C would could cure cancer was Dr. Linus Pauling. He won the Nobel Prize for chemistry in the 60s. He also won the Nobel Peace Prize. He's politically active. He won two Nobel Prizes, and he couldn't get any cooperation because, you know, vitamin C is cheap. You can't make money off of vitamin C.
Yep.
And so then he eventually said, everyone should know that the war on cancer is largely a fraud. This is the guy who won the Nobel Peace Prize for chemistry, you know?
Well, they always say if you cure cancer, the U.S. economy would crash. And that doctors get threatening calls if they cure cancer, that if you keep curing people, you're going to die. I know doctors who are, like, have cured cancer, have to walk around with security. And it's like, let me get this right. So, listen, I do a benefit every year to support, it's called the Armenian Bone Marrow Registry. And we basically look for donors. Someone gets bone marrow cancer, there's a donor. Armenians are very unique. We have a unique genetic makeup, which basically means we're hillbillies because we didn't get along with anyone around us, so we just banged our cousins, right? That's kind of, you gotta, you know, love finds a way. So we have a unique genetic makeup, so I'll do that to help somebody. But I am done donating to cancer research. You're just creating an industry, and if they cure it, their jobs go away.
Yep.
Why would they cure it if they're going to be out of work? Imagine going to college, studying cancer, and then curing it, and now your college degree is in worse shit.
And also, they just want drugs now, because you can they can patent a drug, and so the pharmaceutical company can make a lot of money, and the FDA is working for the pharmaceutical. But if it was if everybody saw vitamin C could help cancer, that would be no good for the pharmaceutical companies because they can't patent something that comes from nature. That's another thing, you know?
Yeah. And it's really sad that there's people who are such psychopaths. Well, did you hear about the pharmaceutical? Can you look this up? Pharmaceutical company was quiet, hides cure for Alzheimer's. Good luck on spelling Alzheimer's because I have no clue how to do it. But, dude, they found a cure for Alzheimer's and they hushed it. They hid it.
Like, oh, yeah.
What are you doing?
I think there's so much corruption in the pharmaceutical industry. It's an evil industry, I think. This woman, she was the editor of the New England Journal of Medicine. Her name was Dr. Marcia Engel. And she feels they rig trials to make the drugs look good. She said trials can be rigged in dozens of ways, and it happens all the time. This was the editor of the most prestigious medical journal, you know?
Yeah. Pfizer. I like how Pfizer has, there's an article out going, oh, not so fast. They're trying to say they could have prevented it. You know what you're doing, dude? I mean, like, dude, you guys think a blog is going to stop us from knowing that basically big pharmaceuticals are fucking Nazis? It's just Nazis. That's what World War One was about, bringing the pharmaceutical industry to the United States from Germany. God, it's just like what people do for a dollar. Guess what? You can't take it with you, okay? So when you screw everybody and you die, guess what you come back as? A pig, okay? To slaughter, you scumbags, you fucking lizard people. We don't want it. Be nice. Help people.
Pharmaceutical
company is so corrupt, isn't it?
Like, yeah. They hate a cure. Like, how do you do that?
It's fucked up.
How do you... Dude, we're talking old people.
Or how about the opiate crisis? They let those drugs out, and and Florida gave out how many pills to supply everybody with, like 10 of them in all of America, and they kept pouring them out, knowing that it's impossible to even take them.
They're all scumbags.
Horrible.
They're the real drug dealers, you know. Everybody thinks drug dealers are in South Central. No, they're on the corner of CVS and Rite Aid. And they wear lab coats. And they don't care. You ever been sick, real sick, and you go to the pharmacist, you're like, hey, man, I'm having blowouts. I got to get something. I have explosive diarrhea. They're like, got to get a doctor's notes. You're like, I'm having diarrhea blowouts. They're like, I can't help you. That's the disconnect going on. That's all about dollar bills. And they're all scumbags. His book is called American Conspiracies and Cover-Ups. He is author Douglas Sergano.
Sergano.
Hey,
that's it. Thank you.
Hey, dude, thank you for coming on. Where can they find your book?
American Conspiracies and Cover-Ups.com. You got to put a slash between cover and ups. It's the same. And on, it's on Amazon, too. So they can get it there. Thanks a lot. It's been fun.
Hey, man. Thanks for coming on. Good luck with your book. Hopefully our listeners will get it digested. And we'll, hey, man, congratulations. It's always great when you have a goal and you knock it out. I'm going to read your book and check it out. And I appreciate you coming on the show, my friend.
Thanks a lot. Maybe I'll see you in New York. Yeah, there you're coming in October. I live on Long Island. So maybe
come October 4th. Come and listen to well-crafted dick jokes about lizard people.
Okay. All right.
Take care, boss. We appreciate you. That is the October 4th show at the Gramercy in New York City. Thank you, Aaron. Your quietness, your stillness lets me know we're close to the truth. Thank you, XG. And we'll see you guys soon. Take care.
If you're in business, you probably have a website. But can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.